hear all the country music, hear the fantasy fool in 3, 2.
Every fantasy has one fool, but this one has two. And the greatest lesson in life is to know even fools are right sometimes.
Looks like the upper hand is on the other foot.
It's time for the Fantasy Fool Show.
Tell us, pray do.
Here's Brian and Mac.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Not too bad. Could have done without that stinker of a game last night.
You know, didn't even pay attention to it. What happened last night?
The Browns rolled the Bengals 32-13.
Yep. They did?
Yep.
Now, how does that happen? Here we go. This is the weirdest NFL football season I think I've ever been privy to play fantasy football in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because you've got Burrows, you get Chase, and they take off, and they go absolutely bonkers.
Yep. And then,
Chase come back
out,
and just,
right, you know, and then for some reason, all of a sudden, the Browns discovered their defense and slowed the Bengals down. And the Browns have been playing terribly. They were supposed to have a decent defense. They were supposed to just sort of kind of keep an even keel until Deshaun Watson can play. And so that was a big win for them last night. Nick Chubb had a huge night. I mean, Burrow and T. Higgins were okay. But Joe Mixon was a no-show, and Hayden Hurst put up 8 points, and Tyler Boyd, who I think everybody thought was going to step up into an even bigger role, was pretty quiet as well. But like I said, Nick Chubb and Amari Cooper for the Browns had huge nights, although Amari Cooper did throw an interception.
I heard about that
which,
one.
And then in his post-game presser, he said it was a terrible play and that he should never be allowed to throw a pass in the NFL again. So there was a little bit of humor going on as well.
At least they had a little bit of humor going on. He shouldn't have thrown that pass, but he had a guy wide open, and he was being chased down. There was potential there. So, I don't know. I like some of those trick kind of plays like that. They're kind of fun, and they make it a little more exciting.
Yeah.
Rather than the same old up the middle.
Yeah, and some of the same things that we've been talking about week in and week out stayed consistent this week. I mean, we had some big names show up and have huge, huge games, but we also had just some big names that just laid eggs, right?
Yeah.
You know, if your league penalizes you for quarterback sacks, Burrow got sacked 5 times again last night, so... Just when you think the Bengals had their offensive line kind of shored up, they were keeping him upright the last few weeks, which I think is one of the reasons why they got on that little bit of a win streak.
Sure.
But then they kind of regressed last night, 5 sacks. You know, so if you lose points for sacks, Burrow did not have a very good night.
No.
Kareem Hunt, who's rumored to be on the trade block, didn't do much of anything last night. We did see some trades. Obviously, McCaffrey got traded. But yesterday, Roquan Smith got traded from the Bears to the Ravens. So if your league uses a defensive player, I'm sure you've got Roquan Smith. You know, somebody's got Roquan Smith if your league uses a defensive player. So so now he's over at the in Baltimore, which is a big move for Baltimore. And Baltimore needs help on defense. You think typically when you think of Baltimore, you think of defense.
Yeah.
But their defense has really not played very well this year, and offenses have been passing, you know, the daylights out of them. So, you know, keep an eye on that. That's kind of that's a very interesting trade, and the Bears are in full fire sale mode and rebuild, and, you know, and it's a tough time to be a Bears fan. It's one of the legendary, proud franchises, great fans, but it really has been a long go of it.
It has. On the stud list, I see Lamar Miller's name.
Yes.
That one shocked me. I'm like, Lamar Miller?
Yeah.
Lamar Miller?
Yep.
What, huh?
Yeah. He did okay. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to see Lamar Miller.
Yeah. Oh, you just weren't expecting to see him at all?
Not
because
at all.
Because he's disappointed you so much?
Well, it's just like, well, isn't he, is it? Is he still around?
Yeah,
is there a young new kid named Lamar Miller I don't know about?
And he is still around, but now he's lost Rashad Bateman for several weeks, who showed up on the injury report.
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Lamar Jackson.
Okay, see, that's what I'm like. Okay, wait a minute here. Lamar Miller. So who was it? Yeah, okay.
Lamar Miller is my made-up quarterback name.
Yeah, okay.
The Ravens, speaking of the Ravens, they are a very weird team, right? I mean, they don't really have a running game to speak of.
No, not really at all.
Yet every week some mysterious running back shows up and does well, but you never know who it's going to be.
And I think that's asinine because they've got Kenyon Drake, who could actually be relatively good as their number one back. Just leave it alone and let it go. Look at you did. You overworked Gus Edwards, and now he's hurt, and he's you know, who knows if he's even going
to
be worth it.
Right, yeah. They have no receivers really to speak of, yet every week some mysterious receiver shows up, and they're just a bunch of no-names. You know, and Mark Andrews goes down. That's a big loss for them. Multiple weeks. So now you've got this, you've got a different Isaiah Likely. Stepping up.
They're high on him, but I noticed he's not been consistent. I wanted to grab him earlier in the season.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, next man up in that regard. But you know, some devastating injuries. Cooper Kupp apparently dodged a bullet. So we'll talk more about that when we get to the injury report. One thing that did prove true is that Travis Etienne Jr. is now officially the man in Jacksonville, and he looked great.
Isn't it crazy how in the beginning of the season you were all on ETN? I grabbed Robinson. Yep. Robinson is just kicking it the first three games, and I'm thinking, ha, I got Mac on this one. And you stayed patient and true to your draft.
Yep.
And it paid off.
It did pay off. I got to be honest with you that I didn't have much hope. I was starting to get worried, but I was able to get Kenneth Walker III off the waiver wire, which did help out my running back situation. And I'm hoping that Cordero comes back. He was one of my high draft picks, and he's scheduled to come off of IR this week, but they haven't made that move yet, so we'll wait and see. So keep an eye on that. If you've got him, you know, obviously he's going to You'll play him if he plays, but he may not. They may decide to rest him for another week.
He did tweet that time is near.
Oh, good. So. Yes. Yeah, I like to hear that. Yep. We had some really great quarterback weeks. We talked, Brian and I would have talked about how much we liked the Heinicke move in Washington.
Yeah. Paid off again.
And it paid off again. And that group and what the biggest benefactor of that, as we've said, is Terry McLaurin, who now has had two great weeks in a row. Heinicke looks his way early and often, and that's just going to be, I think, a good move going forward is to keep Heinicke in there. The team rallies around him. They're winning, and so on. And speaking of winning and losing, I think you can absolutely stick a fork in the Colts, who should not have lost that game. That Colts team is a dumpster fire, and they've got a lot of decisions to make, especially starting at the head coach with Frank Reich. And I'd have no idea what they're going to do with him. He just signed a multi-year extension, but it's just not working in Indianapolis.
Not at all. I don't know how this young Ellinger?
Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to work or not.
And what's really what you really hate to see is when you've got like an all-time surefire Hall of Famer like Jonathan Taylor. You hate to see players like that on teams like the Colts because they're obviously going nowhere, and it just feels like he's being wasted. And you know, at least with Derrick Henry, who had a monster day, I mean, they're going to run him until the tires fall off.
Yeah.
But at least the Titans win, and so that division looks like it's theirs to be had. The rest are just kind of showing up every Sunday. You know, that's one of the things that you know with the Tennessee. Why do the Titans win year in and year out? Because they play the Colts, Texans, and who else, you know, six times a year.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So it's just a terrible, terrible division. You know, some of the running backs that we've talked about, Gordon and Murray both had decent days for the Broncos, but that looks like be a split backfield now with Murray getting more carries than Gordon, so that's going to be frustrating for some people. Fournette had a decent day receiving, but, you know, they can't get the running game going in Tampa.
I don't understand that.
And so it's a very strange situation. And that's the same thing, too, with Tyler Allgeier in Atlanta, who had a nice day, but as a receiver. They couldn't get their running game going either. And Kenneth Walker III continues. His day was saved by a fourth quarter marvelous touchdown run, if you happen to see it. It was acrobatic. It was fantastic. McCaffrey had a McCaffrey-esque day. So if you had McCaffrey, you were doing well.
You were happy.
But now that he's with the 49ers, who have historically been, at least in the last decade, you know, give or take, have been a run first, heavy, heavy, heavy run team. You know, that makes everybody better, which is also why Jimmy Garoppolo is on one of our stud lists, because McCaffrey is going to make everybody on that team better.
Right,
and that's what an all-star does to a team. When that, like, I do believe that Roquan Smith is going to inject or light a fuse in that Baltimore defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what great players do. So, Debo was out with an injury, but I'm not saying that Debo is replaceable because he's not. He's one of the top three, four, five players in the NFL. But now that you've got two of the top five players in the NFL with McCaffrey and Debo Samuel, the next thing you know, like the 49ers are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Now, it's a tough road, but the NFC is really down this year. I mean, who's going to compete with them other than maybe the Eagles and the Cowboys? I mean, the Eagles are clearly the best team in the NFC and maybe arguably the best team in the NFL if you go by record. I still think the Bills are the best team in the NFL, but in a very sort of weak NFC, adding McCaffrey to the 49ers gives them a legitimate Super Bowl shot.
Yeah, I think so, because they once they get used to each other and get that chemistry thing going, I think the only one that it actually hurts by having McCaffrey there is Debo. I think you're probably going to see a 1 or 2 point decline weekly because he's not going to be used as a back out of the backfield as much because it was extremely necessary before. But I think Brandon Ayuk sees another point or two just because he's going to take pressure off of Debo, and there's that kind of opportunity there, and you've got Garoppolo at the helm. So it's going to be interesting. They're all going to score points.
I think
it's going to be fantastic.
And I think that Kyle Shanahan will be wise. I think you're right, because I think Shanahan's smart enough to realize that he does have Jeff Wilson, and so he can take that pressure off of McCaffrey, and that unlike Tennessee, where Derrick Henry is it, McCaffrey does have a supporting cast. And you mentioned with Debo, too. So I do think that it will eat into their point totals, but I think Shanahan will be wise to take that pressure off of McCaffrey, who does obviously have a history of injuries. Tony Pollard looked great in Dallas.
He did.
And I love to hear Jerry Jones saying it's still Zeke's team and all this and that. Fine, Zeke does look good. I mean, he's running well, but Pollard is clearly the better of the two backs right now. That's no insult to Zeke, who's had a fantastic career. But having that 1-2 punch in the NFL is a big deal. That's why I think you do talk about the Cowboys as a legitimate contender. If their defense gets it together, they're kind of weak and week to week. 1 week their defense plays great, the next week their defense is sort of so-so. Let the Bears of all teams hang around, you know, in that game before they finally put the pedal to the metal. But and you also think about Deonta Foreman in Carolina, who is doing great, and that worked out very well. Some of the receivers. We do talk about, we can talk about tight ends as well, but like Isaiah Likely and Greg Dulcich for Denver at the tight end positions had nice
really
weeks.
Come around.
And Dulcich, we've talked about him now for a couple of weeks. We'll get back to receivers in a second, but speaking of tight ends, I mean, it's such a barren wasteland for tight ends that any production you can get. So you get, he doesn't score a touchdown, but he gets dropped at the 1 yard line, you know, on a great catch. So he was just an inch away from a touchdown, but he still put up 13 points, which is a huge day for a tight end, given how bad tight ends have been.
I'll take double digits, 10 plus any day.
100%, yes. And that's all you're looking for. I mean, you got to be realistic with the tight end. Andrews is out. Kittle hasn't kind of completely returned to form. He's still a superstar. And other than a tight end with the last name of Kelsey, you are not getting consistent production out of the tight end. Freiermuth does okay with Pittsburgh because he's probably their number one or number two receiver. But again, any production you can get at tight end is great. Amon-Ra St. Brown came back for the Lions, but he was just so-so. But the good thing is that he's on the field, and so week in and week out, he's a receiver that you never take out of your lineup. And DeAndre Swift, going back to running back, came back as well and looked good, scored a touchdown. But they're still giving a lot of carries to Jamal Williams. So Swift's values as a receiver for the most part, although he did tote the rock a few times. There was a Julio Jones sighting
in
Tampa.
Yeah, it's fun to see Julio a little bit.
So Julio's back, scored a touchdown. Darnell Mooney continues to be really one of the only bright spots for the Bears. CeeDee Lamb had a decent day. DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore had really good games for the Cardinals, which you want to talk about contenders and pretenders. I'm not really believing in the Vikings just yet, and I'll tell you why. Because they've got a great offense, they've got an opportunistic defense. But you cannot let the Cardinals hang around in that game.
No.
And that is that's where you start to look at a team. Like, are they going to be there all the way to the end? I think that because their division is so bad, and the Packers aren't doing anything.
They'll be there till the end. It's just they'll be in that first playoff game. Yeah. They're just going to get their asses kicked.
Well, I mean, and that's what gives me pause about that, because I mean, the Cardinals, fine, they've got some offensive weapons. We all know that. But a team that wants to be taken seriously and be in the mix for a good run at the Super Bowl cannot let a very mediocre Cardinals team hang around at home. And that gives me some concern. Same type of concern with the Cowboys, letting the Bears hang around. But then the Cowboys did pull away. But you've got some of these teams that are they have a good record, they play well, and then you know it's the NFL week in and week out. But I did not like the look of the Vikings on Sunday. They got the win, that's all that counts. Next Sunday up, but whatever. Lockett and Metcalf had nice days as the Seahawks continue to roll. Geno Smith, a top five fantasy quarterback, who would have ever thought it? He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. Pete Carroll, who's what, 72 years old, looks like he's about 22.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just
excited.
You know, they're even taking sort of cheap veiled shots at Russell Wilson, you know, when Tyler Lockett and others are saying it's amazing what we can accomplish when there's, you know, when people are spreading the ball around and there's no I in team, all this stuff. And speaking of Russell Wilson, he did have a decent day, and Denver gets a win in London. So in a virtually unwatchable game. But you know, some of the duds, you know, just had some really unexpected duds. I didn't necessarily think the Giants were going to win in Seattle, but I thought that they might have a little bit of a better showing. Now, that might be a result of the Seahawks being as advertised,
right,
or the Giants maybe coming crashing back down to earth a little bit. That tale still remains to be told. The Bills had a really quiet game, except for Diggs and Josh Allen, but Knox did have a touchdown, but only one catch for like 2 yards. So, you know, 9 points, fine, you get it, you know. But that was a very interesting game, and it was a game more about the Packers than it was the Bills. The Packers are in desperation mode, and the fact that they hung around and lost by 10, which the point spread happened to be 10.5, so they covered. In case for those of you that are interested, for entertainment purposes only. So that was an interesting conclusion to that game. You know, the Titans are deficient on offense except for Henry. The Texans, same thing. Damian Pierce is a decent running back. Cooks is okay, but rumored to be on the trade block. The Colts just stink. Pittman was the only bright spot with them. The Packers are a dumpster fire. The Rams just can't get anything going offensively, and it looked like Kupp might have been hurt, but it looks like he dodged a bullet. You know, and you just go on down the list. I mean, the Jaguars, except for Etienne and maybe Engram, just a lot of duds out there. I don't know what else to say. The Jets and Patriots was a slugfest, and so on. But as we mentioned last week, this week is arguably, this coming week 9, is going to be one of the most challenging weeks, I think, for anybody.
Right.
Regardless of what players you have. Because we have an unprecedented 6 teams on bye. And they're not just stinkers. So it's not like the Jaguars, Colts, Texans, etc. are on bye. It's
right.
The 49ers,
right,
the Broncos, the Browns, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Steelers. We all have investments in these teams.
Yes, we
so
do.
It's going to be a mad dash.
It's going to be really interesting. All right, we'll take a break. Be right back.
Everywhere I turn,
it's the Fantasy Fools on the Ranch, AM 910.
While sock shopping the other day, I asked the sales associate if I could see their selection of 260 thread count or higher, and they replied, "Well, that depends." A response that was marvelous to behold, truly. Some things do just depend. Are we brunching on quiche or frittata? It depends on the crust. Was that a riff or a lick that you just laid down on that guitar? It depends on the melodic construction. And how do variables of time and space affect truck storage capacity? Well, that too depends on air density, longitude, Chinese zodiac sign, and most importantly, it depends on the dependability of the mover responsible for loading the truck. When it comes to storaging and transferring, everything depends on dependability. Dependability you can depend on, and timeliness too. Birkin Storage and Transfer. Twice the movers. Look under movers in the yellow pages.
Storage. Mike Hart from Fresh Produce down in Sioux Falls. He went to SDSU. He's a member of the Pride, or was. And then he worked for us on the X1071 when we were at the depot. But anyway, the guy is very clever, and sometimes you go, huh? I don't even think of that. Anyway, top five. Here we go.
Slim pickings this week, folks, so bear with us. I mean, you got to start Aaron Rodgers at the Lions. If he can't light it up against the Lions, who have the worst defense in the NFL, then there's no hope at all.
Right.
And I think you match him up with Romeo Doubs, and you got to start Aaron Jones every week. But I think this is a week where Doubs comes out and has a big game. He had a decent game last week. So I like Aaron Rodgers a lot. I like Heinicke. Again, this is a thin week at quarterback. You know, I don't think you're starting, you know, you're losing Dak, Daniel Jones, and maybe Jimmy G and Russell Wilson, but still it is a thin week. I like Heinicke at the Vikings, and I like Marcus Mariota versus the Chargers. Marcus Mariota's having quietly a very, very good season. And is one of the reasons why the Falcons are doing what they're doing. I like, you know, Derek Carr needs a get right game. What's a better get right game than Jacksonville? And then Geno Smith, keep rolling him out. You know, you got to.
Yeah, running backs.
Slim pickings. I think you want to take David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert versus the Dolphins. I think you roll with Ramondre Stevenson versus the Colts. The Colts are on the verge of packing it in. And so that team just looks shot. Deontay Foreman, until further notice, at the Bengals. Bengals are going to want to have a get-right game, but he might have something to say about that. I should go back to the quarterbacks. I do like Stafford, and both Stafford and Brady. Something's got to give in that game. The Rams at the Bucks. Somebody's going to have a good game.
So.
Or maybe they both won't. You know, maybe that game ends 9-6.
Game.
So anyway, and that wide receiver, I like Darnell Mooney. As long as the Bears keep feeding him the ball, you got to keep rolling him out there. Rondale Moore looks great in Arizona. Tyler Boyd, you got to keep running with him, even though he had a down night last night. I think you keep rolling with him. The Bengals will look to get right at home next week. Josh Palmer for the Chargers playing the Falcons. And as I mentioned, Romeo Doubs against the Lions. Tight end, you got to keep rolling with Gesicki. Tua looks his way all the time. He's getting tons and tons of looks and targets. So that's what you like to see for any player is, are the opportunities there? If it's one thing if he's not looking his way at all, but he clearly is. And that will pay off. In the end. So I think Gesicki, even though he hasn't been that great, is going to be a good, sneaky good tight end moving forward. Evan Engram versus the Raiders, he's one of the only things the Jags have. Isaiah Likely, next man up for the Ravens. Juwan Johnson, the tight end for the Saints, and Tyler Higbee at the Buccaneers. The tight end is super, super thin this week because I think with the six teams that are on byes, you have investments in all of their tight ends except for the Giants. That's a tough, tough week. Defensively, I like the Rams at the Bucks. I like the Bucks versus the Rams. So I think that game could, you know, but again, that you know, when we say these things, that's what, then those games sometimes they turn out to be like 36-31, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So you just because you would expect them to really actually be defensive games with the Rams and the Bucks, but then they could be offensive games.
Yeah, I like the Bengals defense versus the Panthers. I like the Chiefs defense versus the Titans, and I like the Raiders defense versus the Jaguars. It's interesting to say that Josh McDaniel, who's getting his second shot at a head coaching stint in the NFL, is all of a sudden on the hot seat, especially when you post a goose egg at a very bad defensive New Orleans Saints team, and then things are not looking good in Raiderland. You invest all that capital in Davante Adams. You've got Darren Waller's banged up, but you've got, you know, Josh Jacobs, you've got some good weapons, and you invested a lot of money in your defense. You should not have the record 2-5 or 2-6 or whatever they are. It's a terrible
look
for the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on there. Josh McDaniels is just not a head coach.
Offensive
coordinator. That's where he's best, and just leave it at that.
Yeah, I really do believe that.
Yep. All right. Right. We're going to come back with we'll do injuries and waiver wire and all that stuff in just a second.
Great.
AM 910.
Drain clogs can sometimes be a doozy.
I'm just going to take off this connector piece thingamajigger here. You hand me the pipe cutter?
I'm calling Roto-Rooter.
I can handle it. It's just a little bit stubborn.
Now you broke it.
From major city sewer line obstructions to the smallest drains in your home, we can handle it. I'm Jerry Kozad with Roto-Rooter. We proudly serve the Sioux Falls and Brookings areas and everywhere in between. When you need us, we'll be there.
And away go troubles down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
Some people say that at Wiffle's Hybrids, we march to the beat of our own drum. But we don't mind that one bit. Because if staying independent and U.S. farm family owned and focusing on corn and corn alone makes us different than other seed corn companies, well, we just don't know any other way to march. So make your choice and plant your independence. Plant Wiffle's.
The panic button is for emergencies only.
Where's the button?
Here comes the meat wagon.
This is a class one emergency.
Yeah, class one emergency. I don't know how to run this board. I've got the wrong buttons here and there. Sorry about all that moving into this. But, yeah, the injury thing is plaguing a lot of people. It caused me problems.
Plaguing a lot of people. You know? Not a lot of new stuff to report other than Mark Ingram at the running back position. But keep an eye on Cordarrelle Patterson's status. You know, we don't know if he's going to come off of IR this week. Ja'Marr Chase is out for at least a couple of weeks, but they did not put him on injured reserve. Cooper Kupp looks to have avoided injury. Devontae Parker as well. It looks to have avoided serious long-term injury. Mark Andrews and Irv Smith for the Vikings are out at tight end. Will Darren Waller ever return at tight end? I mean, you've got some of these players that you just, are they ever going to come back? And that's really something to keep your eye on. Which leads us, you know, to some of the pickups for waiver wires. If you haven't picked up Greg Dulcich from Denver, even though they're on bye this week, he's a sneaky good stash. And somebody may drop him. Because
right, yeah,
they need
they
help, and if they do, please, you know, grab him right away. Evan Engram, Bob Tonyan, and Isaiah Likely are all tight end targets on the waiver wire. At receiver, Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney, Garrett Wilson from the Jets, Josh Palmer from the Chargers, and Romeo Doubs from the Packers. At the running back position, Tyler Allgeier, who shouldn't be available, but in case he is, snap him up. Rashad White for the Bucks, Isaiah Pacheco for the Kansas City Chiefs, Chuba Hubbard for Carolina, and Latavius Murray looks to be getting the most carries in Denver, even though they're on bye. Again, that might be a sneaky bye week pickup if you can afford it. And then at quarterback, Justin Fields, Jimmy Garoppolo, Marcus Mariota, Heinicke, and Andy Dalton, if they're available, might be good plug and plays if you've got a quarterback that's on bye. And that may very well be the case. But again, this is the toughest week that we're going to face in terms of byes.
We're coming up in the 2-minute warning.
That's the 2-minute warning.
2-minute warning.
2-minute warning.
2-minute whistle blows, it's your ball game.
Two minute warning. Here we go.
Yeah, I thought maybe that young quarterback that is Sam Ellinger.
Ellinger. Yep.
I thought maybe he was going to be something. I grabbed him and now I've dropped him. Like, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's not going anywhere. But we actually have a couple of emails here. Let's see, Mark in a PPR league, comment or question. Seriously, what do I do at a tight end? You know, honestly, there's one potential, and let me. I just popped him up here. Conklin.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, Conklin had a great week with New England. He ended up with 19 points.
Yeah.
Is he going to get that? No. But if he gets you 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 points, there you go. But,
yeah,
you know, he just has some potential, and they're not on bye till 10. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's a really tough one. I grabbed Dulcich.
Yeah.
And I don't know who I'm going to play this week. You know, may take a zero at tight end because I just, at this point, don't have a clue, and I'm not wasting a bench spot because I need those bench spots for upcoming games.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know. And then Jesse, in a standard league, is Kyren Williams worth a single bench spot? I have Kareem Hunt and CEH. Boy, I'll tell you what, the unknown there.
There is an unknown.
I've got him on my bench.
Yeah.
But in PPR, and I've got five bench spots, so I, you know, whatever.
Kareem Hunt is an interesting. Let's finish on that note because I think that just mentioning Kareem Hunt, because Kareem Hunt is rumored to be on the trade block, and so if depending upon where he goes, he's a number one running back.
No doubt.
If he gets, I mean, the unfortunate situation with him is that he happens to be teammates with Nick Chubb, who's one of the top three, four running backs in the league. So, you know, with McCaffrey and Henry and Jonathan Taylor, et cetera, and Eckler. So
just don't know where Kareem Hunt's going to go, though. That's the hard one. You know, Panthers. But I think they've got their foreman. I think they're, you know.
Rams, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, because the Rams need somebody really bad.
Yep,
really
and
bad.
So do the Bucks.
All right, very good.
Have a great week. We'll see you all next week. Good luck. Weather the storm, and have a great week.